Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm going to start off this show by saying, people, you need to donate because the audio is a train wreck. Andrew, tell the people we're doing it again for the people.
This is take two
take
of the
two,
podcast.
And you don't get Dave's great insight because he had to go. Maybe he'll come back. So the podcast was a complete and utter train wreck of audio.
A shit show.
It was a shit show. Speaking of shit shows... I was on vacation in Galveston, people say I am very negative, right, Andrew? I have a lot of doom and gloom and all that. And
that's true.
And it's true. I admit it. But if I predict doom, you are like my personal Grim Reaper. I went to the beach, went to the pool, didn't bring my phone, read a book, was having a delightful old time. I come back on Friday, and I look at my phone, and it has a voicemail from you. And I was like, "Oh shit! This must mean Fairley is like we're done. He's gonna have to retire." And then I see, I get on Twitter, and I had like 50 mentions, and I hadn't been on Twitter in at all the whole day. And it's just nothing but GIFs of bridges collapsing and trains running off the tracks and nuclear power plants just collapsing. Which it was fun. I mean, it's funny that people automatically, as any bad news happens to say, they go right to me and they want me to give the most doomiest take out there, right? But fuck
Ralph, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me, Andrew?
Ralph?
Yeah, can you hear me, Andrew?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah.
You just dropped out.
Oh, well, the level was good, I think. So, yeah. It's like... But it's the worst fucking June summer before training camp in the history of the Saints.
Yeah. I mean, we thought last year was bad. And, you know, you had Ki Kaha, Jamarcus Sanford, and Kyle Wilson out for the year. And that's like child's play compared to this. I mean, when you talk about the enormity of it's the players. And
it's awful.
It's awful. It's like it's the worst thing imaginable. It really is. Like when you talk about three of what I consider the top six players on the roster. Now, we don't know with Fairley yet. Like conceivably he could still play this year and Unger could conceivably still be good for week 1.
It could be, but it could be terrible.
And conceivably Armstead could be back for Thanksgiving. So that's the best case scenario. And if it plays out that way, maybe it's not that bad.
Well,
but right now it feels horrible.
It feels horrible because fans on Twitter, they want to be, and I get it. You don't want to be like, we're fucked. You don't want to say that on June 20th. You just don't. So you want to cling to it. But here's the thing. Like, there's more injuries to come. Like, we haven't had two or three guys get, you know, we haven't lost anybody for the sports hernia, which is coming. We haven't lost, you know, we haven't lost any guys, right? So you're still going to have two or three more injuries. And it's, to me, Andrew, I kind of equate it with like, you know, a person that's like, you and your wife have a job, right? And you get by and you're pretty comfortable and you're not quite living paycheck to paycheck, but it's not a super struggle, but like, you can't handle more than like one or two bad financial events, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Like, the Saints, like, Unger was like $1,100 for, like, fixing your car. And Fairley, you know, it could be, like, you might have skin cancer. And then, Teron Armstead is like, your teenager, like, wrecked the car. So it's like, one of them, you can handle and be all right financially. All three of them, you're like teetering on the edge of bankruptcy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of like what you said. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you know that worse stuff is coming once they go to training camp and they play preseason games. And so I think that's why it hits us so hard right now. Like, if it was week two and Fairley was, you know, out indefinitely, and then week four, Unger's out for a couple yep. weeks, and then week seven, you lose Armstead for the season. I mean, then, you know, you've had a bunch of guys that have gone through training camp that know the system, that, you know, have played in a couple games. So you kind of just, you know, you feel like you can kind of grind through it. But
and maybe you're
to
like
lose all those
maybe
guys.
Maybe you're 5-2 at the time. You know, like,
yeah,
maybe your
I mean,
record's
to
okay.
lose them before camp, it's like they were never on the team to begin with. And, like I said, you know those other injuries are coming.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we may feel different. Like, maybe they'll finally catch a break and get through training camp, and you'll be like, oh, the injuries in training camp are like, maybe, not that you want anybody to get hurt, but maybe it's like, oh, it's Muhammad, he tore his Achilles, and he's the sixth, you know, he's the sixth round pick, and maybe it's Mallett gets hurt. So, you know, maybe it's just guys that, like, were interesting, but, you know, Brandon Coleman, you know, you're like, eh, feel bad for the guy, but, you know, you feel like you can manage it. But Andrew, I mean, can you imagine if it goes bad and it's like 2000 under Hazlitt, where the first preseason game they lost Cam Cleland, Steve Israel, and Rob Kelly in the first two series of the game? You know, like, what if that happens to them?
Well, I mean, it feels like they're on path for that right now.
My
God. That's the cycle that they're on. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm worried about. So, you know, right now things feel really bleak. Now, they could get really lucky going through training camp and preseason, you know, and if they don't get decimated by those injuries, like, you know, I can't remember what happened in preseason, but I remember Delvin Bro hardly played at all. He was banged up all of camp and a lot of preseason. You know, they lost a ton of corners. Swan was out for the year. He went on IR. I mean, they picked up B.W. Webb. They picked up Sterling Moore. And I think Ken Crawley was playing almost immediately. So, you know, at corner especially, you know, Ellerby was out early in the season. So, you know, if they have a bunch of stuff like that again, they're not going to be able to survive it. I'm going to tell you right now. If they get really lucky and they get through camp and preseason without the kind of stuff they had last year, then maybe I'll start to feel better.
Yeah,
going
and oh, by that. By the way, their first 4 weeks are brutal.
Yeah.
So I mean, they were gonna have a hard time getting a 2-2 with a full strength roster, you know. But on a positive note, let's think positive, and let's assume Armstead is out for the year, or he's not back until around Thanksgiving. But let's assume Unger is ready to go Monday night versus Minnesota. And let's assume they don't have any other injuries on the offensive line.
Wait, what about Fairley?
Well, that's just we'll talk about Fairley after. I'm talking about the offensive
okay.
line now. How okay. decent can it be?
I think if Unger comes back and he's fine, like he steps in immediately and there's no drop-off, then I'm not that worried. Because I just realistically in the NFL, how many teams can say they have one good alternative to their starting left tackle? Not many. I think the Saints have two. Like you have two guys that are first round picks that played left tackle in college, and whether Andres Pete's a guy that we've seen last year play left tackle and do okay, and ideally he stays at left guard, and Ramchek is the guy that's
yeah.
playing left guard and doing well. But either way, they've got two guys that can potentially fill in there.
They could put Ramchek at guard if need be, if they felt like they...
Possibly, you know, or Kelemete at guard, and hopefully Unger comes back. But I just think they played pretty well on the offensive line last year without Armstead.
Mm-hmm.
And they're potentially, if Ramchek's healthy and he plays, they're potentially set up to handle that injury more this year than last year. So Unger's a problem. Major problem. But if he is back week one, then I don't think the offensive line is in that much trouble.
You know, and the thing about Unger that's going to be weird is he's not going to really practice. So you're not going to really – like what would be a sign that things aren't going bad for Unger in camp because he's not going to be ready early? Like what would make you worried about Unger not being ready for week one?
I would say that by the week of the third preseason game, he's not limited or at least doing walkthroughs, I would be very concerned.
Bad sign.
Because he's not going to be ready for week one unless he's kind of limited in practice 2 weeks prior to week one.
Gotcha. So,
you know?
So
yeah, if he's not at least limited those last 2 weeks, that would tell me that, you know, the prognosis of him being ready for week one was
bad.
Was aggressive.
Bad. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, so it's just it's a clusterfuck with the line. I mean, so me and you are on the same page, I guess. And I wish Dave would join in because he's not as bullish of the importance of Fairley. And he said in the original podcast, he's like, look, I expect Fairley to be terrible because I expected him the day the 2016 season ended, the day that 2017 started and he signed the big contract, he would go back to being terrible. So I expected nothing from Fairley, which, in a way, that's a good outlook to have because if he doesn't play, Dave is like, I wasn't expecting him to anyway. I was expecting him to be terrible. I mean, at some point, Andrew, this is another thing that Dave brought up. At what point do we say, man, this isn't just bad luck? This is the Saints. Something is with this training staff that they're not doing a good job.
Yeah, no, I think we have to ask that question. I mean, I think it goes from everything from, you know, little stuff like the fact that they feed their players Popeyes before and Jimmy John's before games. No, I mean, I'm serious. You know, like I think from a dietary standpoint, you're feeding your athletes fried chicken and cold cuts and cheese and gluten. And yeah, I mean, I'm just saying like it doesn't seem like their diet, you know, in terms of what the team is feeding their players is, you know, built towards making machines, you know, that perform on the field. You know, that food doesn't help, especially pregame. I mean, we're talking about the last meal before you play a game.
Well, I mean, that was the thing with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. Players were like, what is this? You're telling me that I have to eat this, drink this smoothie and eat this day of the week. And they were like, and we're doing major practices the day before the game way more than just a walkthrough. What the fuck is this? But then his first 2 years, they won, and players were like, he's right. I feel phenomenal, and this works. You know, and that was the thing that was always interesting with Chip Kelly in Oregon. Like, he ran the super fast break offense, which it was really just sort of running the ball at warp speed, right? And anybody that wanted to come and see it, he'd be like, I'll tell you anything you want to know. And he gave clinics and all this. But, like, all his nutrition stuff and their injury stuff, he'd be like, nope, 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 no interviews, no, not talking about it, nothing. And it was, like, super top secret. But anything you wanted to know, like, game plan-wise, he would tell anybody. So
I just know that, look, you look at the level that Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, like you look at, you know, elite athletes that are
they
the best at their
do
sport.
It differently.
The one thing they all have in common is that they are insane about their nutrition. And I don't think you can expect every athlete. You have to go above and beyond and be crazy about that stuff on some level to be successful at that level and be successful with that longevity, you know, into your late 30s. But what I think you can learn from that as an organization. I don't know how many teams are doing this, but you can certainly give them healthier options. And a team meal before a game at Popeyes is the opposite. Like that's the worst.
It's so delicious though.
And so like
I'll have the two-piece.
But so that's something small, you know. And then you look at the relationship with Ochsner, and that the Saints are basically forced to, from what I understand, they are forced to use the doctors that Ochsner provides them because they're a major team sponsor. And that's nothing against Ochsner, but I don't know how those doctors from a progressive standpoint compared to, you know, the Duke and UVA grad medical
grads. Well, and
grads
also
that,
too, I mean, look,
the Redskins
let's
get.
Be real. The New Orleans, the Saints don't have access. I mean, they can fly, they can send players places for injuries, and you know, go to Dr. Andrews and go places. But the medical stuff in New Orleans is just not as good as like big Houston and Philly and New York. It's just not. You know?
It's not. Yep.
And I mean,
so there's that. I mean, there's the whole like just training regimen. It's hard for me to blast that too much because I don't know what the Saints do and I don't know how it's different from other teams. But again, when all these injuries pile up, I think from medical staff to nutrition to you got to look at all that stuff. All the little things matter, and I have to believe that it's more than just bad luck. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's two years of brutalness. And the thing is, as a fan,
I mean, the other thing is New Orleans, like as a city, it's just less healthy than other places. Like, look, if you're looking to go drink and do stuff, you can get in trouble in any city. But I just think when you look at the culture in New Orleans, the drinking culture, the eating culture, I mean, Zach Strief owns a brewery, you know, and I'm not saying that other NFL players don't have that, but I'm just saying the culture in New Orleans is not the healthiest environment for an NFL player. In fact, I'm pretty confident it's the worst. Now, that's been true of every Saints team, including the 2009 team that won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, and so, but again, I mean, with when you look at the number of injuries that the Saints have, and they're counting on a lot of veterans, you know, and obviously as your body ages, you have these issues, but I don't know. I don't know if there's a deeper explanation or not, Ralph, but I do think, and Loomis alluded to this in the offseason, you know, that, hey,
he did. We have deep
we've got to look at this stuff. Yep. He, you know, he said, you know, it was so bad this past year with injuries that we've got to look at our training staff. We've got to look at our doctors.
Yeah, he did. And it was, you know, here's the thing. It's just as a fan, like, look, you want the Saints to win. We all want the Saints to go to the playoffs and do awesome because it makes the year fun. But as a fan, one of the things that I almost feel – I don't know if the word entitled to is the right word, but I feel like every fan should have it – is like I want to be excited between the draft and training camp. I want it to be fun. I want to argue with people about, is PJ Williams good? Is it, you know, like those arguments on Twitter, we laugh about it, but it's fun to is this guy going to be good? I don't think that, you know, it's no fun to say, how are they going to overcome left tackle? How are they going to overcome the losing their second best defensive tackle, the second best defensive lineman? You know, how are they going to overcome
their
center?
Yeah, well, talking pre-camp, this is the worst I could ever remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's no fun to be the guy that's like, they're fucked on the offensive line and they have no room for error and it's not going to be okay. It's much more fun to argue of, I don't think PJ Williams is going to be okay and they have issues at corner. You know, like those arguments are much more enjoyable to have. And it just sucks. You want to be, when it gets to training camp and you get to that first preseason game, you want to be super excited. And now it's just really, it's not happening. You know, it's not going to happen with this team. You know, before we get to questions, I guess.
Well, if you're going glass half full again, I think the hope has just got to be that, you know, these guys we're talking about will be healthier. You know, they won't sustain the kind of injuries in camp and preseason that they did.
They need
last
that
year.
Atlanta Falcons.
You know, maybe they'll go through a rash
line.
Of good luck.
They need that Atlanta Falcons luck on the offensive line is what they need.
Yeah.
So before we get to the Twitter questions, and thanks for everybody asking. If I said to you, Andrew, I want you to you can have one position group besides quarterback, obviously, because we need Drew Brees needs to be able to. If you need one position group that can be almost pristine health the entire 2017 year, what position do you pick?
This might be recency bias, you know, for me. But my pick would be cornerback. And the reason I pick corner is I just remember
B.W.
having
Webb.
A role with Devontae Harris and Ken Crawley early in the year. And B.W. Webb, yeah. And having to deal with Sterling Moore in man coverage on Mike Evans. And I just can't have another season of that. Like, it's just too painful.
Yeah, I would...
So I would want, you know, Delvin Bro. If I could get a full season of Marshawn Lattimore, Delvin Bro, and P.J. Williams, like, I don't know what that promises for the team's success, but at least, you know, give me a different position to be decimated.
I would pick defensive line because and that would include, obviously, Fairley playing. I feel like if their defensive line is healthy, it's going to be good. I'm confident that Okafor is going to be 1,000 times better than Kruger and is going to give him 4 to 6 sacks if he's healthy. I think their defensive line can be good, but corner isn't a bad choice. But I feel like the lines are that to me, Andrew, is what is so frustrating about these injuries. Is if it was linebacker, I'd be like, the linebackers were going to be bad or whatever, and we can overcome it with. The kids at corner can be awesome, and the defensive line can be awesome, and they can overcome injuries at linebacker, or even a person getting injured at corner.
I feel like linebacker, they're so deep with mediocre guys at linebacker that it's going to be mediocre if they're healthy or injured.
Yeah,
at that position.
I feel like the Saints' playoff chances hinge on their offensive and defensive lines being good, and they don't have Armstead, they might not have Unger, they might not have Fairley, and that just it's like a landmine to the you know.
You felt like in the offseason that's what we were excited about. We felt like that was the linchpin of the team, the lines, and the three injuries they've sustained are some of their best dudes on those lines.
So let's go to the Twitter question. This is from Ryan. What bourbon should I drink to ease the pain of Armstead's injury? Angel's Envy is awesome. They finish it in a wine port barrel. It's super strong and super smooth. That's my recommendment. This is from Daniel, Andrew. What are you looking for benchmarks for Lattimore during camp? Besides, like, being healthy and his hamstrings not exploding.
Yeah, I think if he's playing with the twos and threes a lot, that would be a concern for me that he's kind of not developing and he's not getting it. So, you know, the real benchmark in camp for me would just be that he's actually playing with the ones lined up against Michael Thomas and that, you know, Breeze is throwing to him with Thomas, and, you know, throwing to Thomas and that he's making a pass breakup here and there. You know, if we're hearing that and that he's playing with the ones on the outside, I think that's promise that he's going to be good.
Daniel, the main thing is that third preseason game, when the starting defense is there, and if Lattimore isn't playing with them, that's a problem.
Yep.
You know, when they, you know, even in the third preseason game, teams are going to play a lot of nickel. If Lattimore's not playing a ton in that first half of that third preseason game, that's a problem. Are the preseason curse injuries done, or should we prepare for the coming DB apocalypse? Anthony, I don't think you're going to have the DB apocalypse. I think it's never the injury apocalypse is never the same from year to year, right?
Well, it's offensive line this year.
It's offensive line this year.
Yeah.
The offensive line.
I mean, I'm waiting for news that Ryan Ramczyk's hip needs a second surgery.
Oh my gosh. Fuck.
And that, you know,
God damn it,
and that Zach Strief, you know, dropped an axe on his foot,
fell into
that Minnesota kicker,
fell into the keg at the brewery.
dropped a keg on his foot. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Let's see. Looking at what's worse for your health, smoking, drinking, or getting signed to a big money extension by the Saints?
Okay, well, smoking can give you lung cancer down the road. Yeah. But you can last a long time smoking before those things happen. You know, drinking can cause cirrhosis of the liver.
It definitely can.
Yeah. But I think when you sign a long-term deal with the Saints, you're getting a season-ending injury almost immediately. In some cases, you have to retire almost immediately, and your earning potential is basically done for the rest of your life. I'd say signing a long-term deal with the Saints is worse.
Let's see. Which happens first? Arm says plays a full season, or the podcast gets a new intro that's not about zombie apocalypse. Don, we had so many audio issues the last couple weeks. You didn't notice it last week. You will notice it this week because Dave should be on this podcast, but he's not because the first one got eaten by my computer. You probably won't get a new open until like 2025 at this rate.
Yeah. Which is probably the next time Armstead will give us a full season as a coach.
Yeah. Alfredo.
So that's a push.
Alfredo asks, I'm 6'3", under 3 bills, and got a bad lower back. How soon before the Saints call me to play offensive tackle? Alfredo, check your voicemail. Mickey Loomis is prompt. You know?
Well, I think the question is, you're only eligible if you've already had a sports hernia surgery. So that would be my first question to you.
Oh, the sports hernia. Who will win the sport? If it's Lattimore, I'm going to put a hole in my wall. Like, it just.
Well, you know, you're just looking on Twitter for who's been sent to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The Saints had so-and-so sent to Philadelphia for all these guys.
God damn it. And they never come out and admit it. They're always like, it's not a sports hernia. It's just a
leg injury.
It's a leg injury. He's going to Philadelphia. It's a fucking sports hernia. They're putting in the mesh and, you know, he's out 6 weeks. Like, that. The Saints have had so many sports hernia issues. Injuries, like, we know they go to Philadelphia, they get the mesh inserted, they're out 4 to 6.
Yeah. Like, I almost feel like they need to find a specialist in Philadelphia for something else because it's so obvious at this point. So just to throw us off the scent.
Who's had this? It's been Shockey, Greer.
Keenan Lewis.
Jamal Brown.
Yep.
I'm probably missing a couple.
Did Streif have it?
I think Streif might have it. That's five. Like it's at least five or six guys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So, this is from Alexander. Can Sean Spicer play tackle well? Political question. Steve Bannon said he got fat. So if he's bulking up, the Saints may need him. So that pretty much.
Khalif Barnes had to lose weight to play.
Khalif Barnes, with the Teron Armstead injury, Khalif Barnes, he may be able to go from Airbnb to like a 6-7 month rental.
Yeah, his stock is way up.
Will Peterson?
I mean, he's the primary backup tackle now, right?
Oh, definitely. Like.
I mean, we're one more tackle injury from Bryce Harris being back in play.
Oh my God! Yeah, Khalif Barnes is on. I would say, like 70% chance Barnes is on the roster now, opening week.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, or cut. You know, at final cuts, but then brought back before week one.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's probably what's awaiting his and him.
Final question. This is from Don. Hans, will Peterson get hurt first or pop off to the media and get benched first?
Definitely hurt. I don't really think Peterson's like a pop off to the media guy. Like he had like the switch thing, and I never really watched his interviews, so I didn't really have an appreciation for, like, you know, what kind of personality he had. I mean,
he always seemed polished.
Yeah, he seemed like a likable guy until the switch stuff, and then everyone hated him. But, I mean, just watching his interviews, he reminds me a lot of Drew Brees and how he carries himself.
Yep,
I mean,
he's
a brand. You know, like you said, he's polished, he's well-spoken, he's respectful of the media, he answers things honestly. You know, he's not a pop-off kind of guy. You know, to me, he's very much like a you know, he's the face of the franchise. I mean, he was that for a long time in Minnesota, and I think he carries himself well and all that stuff. So I don't see that at all with Peterson. I think the Saints play the Vikings in week one.
Yeah.
I think what's off the board in Vegas right now is the Mark Ingram tantrum week one on the sideline against the Vikings when Peterson vultures all his touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas isn't even taking that bet.
I mean, if the Saints, if you told me the Saints,
and maybe you can get that bet offshore in Canada from like some rogue, you know, gambling site that like doesn't really know the situation very well.
Bayesian Bitcoin.
Yeah, but Vegas isn't taking that's off the board.
No, I would say if the Saints beat Minnesota, I would bet you a week's pay. Mark Ingram has like 18 carries for like 95 yards, and Peterson has 11 for 25 and 3 scores. That's how it's gonna go. I'm telling.
So the question is, who will be more furious, Ingram on the sidelines or his fantasy owners?
Oh, that'll just be it. Like you just hashtag vulture TD, and it'll just be angry GIFs. So that about wraps up this podcast. Hopefully it recorded. You can go to Saints Nation. We have the quick shot up about who should the Saints give a contract to, Vaccaro or Snead. And we have Dave is working on his season preview. It'll be ready Super Bowl Sunday 2018. So
For next year.
So for Kevin, who is MIA, for Dave, who should have been here, but audio failed us, and for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.